There's been a lot of buzz this week about the high-profile skeptic of man-made global warming who is now, he says, joining the ranks of the converted. His financial backers include the conservative Koch brothers, who also back presumed GOP nominee Mitt Romney, who's flip-flopped on the role of man in global warming, saying at times humans are a factor, at other times we don't know if they are. So will this new research change minds? Richard Muller is a MacArthur genius, professor of physics at the University of California, Berkeley, and as recently as 3 years ago, a skeptic on global warming. He said he saw problems in the climate studies. Then last year, he concluded that global warming was real and that the prior estimates of the rate of warming were correct, but he doubted human involvement. This week, in an op-ed in the New York Times, he went further. Professor Muller's new book is Energy for Future Presidents, the science behind the headlines. We'll ask him about that as well. But as he joins us from California, Professor, that step further, what do you now believe?
Well, I now believe that there has been significant warming for the last 260 years. Our records go back actually to 1753. And the clear evidence from the fingerprint analysis that we've done is that essentially all of that is caused by humans, by greenhouse emissions, particularly carbon dioxide.
Well, this is, of course, a statement that's just, you know, shaken people up a bit. Tell us how you came to it. It's the result of your Berkeley Earth Temperature Project. You founded it with your daughter, Elizabeth. It sounds pretty simple. But just to be sure, am I hearing this correctly? You tested the Earth's temperatures.
Well, basically, yes, but it was anything but simple. It was an enormous job. But we got the data. We have now put it in a uniform format online so anybody else can analyze it too. By using the best methods of analysis, we were able to push it back over 100 years further than others. And this is what gave us a long enough record that we could now investigate it and see what's going on. And that's what led to my conversion.
You say the Earth's temperatures have risen 2.5 degrees over the past 250 years, 1.5 in most recent years. But how did you come to your conclusion about the role of humans, and especially in the context of what skeptics say? You were one of them, but skeptics still saying that the rise in temperature is caused by cities, by these urban islands that heat up, caused by human error, by bad temperature testing stations, by solar activity, by El Nino. So how did you rule those out and rule emissions in?
There's a lot of work, and we have now posted online 5 major scientific papers. They have already undergone a great deal of peer review, and they're not yet published. But these papers looked at each one of those in detail. So, for example, because we were able to use all of the data, not just 20% like NASA and NOAA, we could actually look at what temperature change we get if we considered only rural stations. So leave out the cities altogether. We got the same answer. We were able to look at the stations that were of poor quality and the stations that were of good quality. And it turned out the poor quality stations are indeed warmer. But the changes they show are the same. There was no difference between them. Data adjustment, we did no hands-on adjustment. We started with the raw data and had everything automated. If there were sudden changes that were clearly due to station moves, we would just treat them as separate stations. We could do that because of our ability to use fragments of data. So really, it was a huge amount of work. That's where the bulk of the effort went into addressing what I considered to be these legitimate complaints about the previous work.
Well, and when I say that it was simple, perhaps I don't mean the process, but in understanding it, have I got this right, that it feels as if what you found was sort of an arc, if you will, that you could lay over your research that showed greenhouse emissions caused by humans that had sort of the same kind of arc that the rise in temperatures had, and you couldn't find that same result from anything else, from solar flares, from urban islands. And it sounds as if your challenge is, look, you know, this is just what I found. If somebody else can find the same kind of pattern, but larger than the arc that I have from the emissions, so be it. But right now, this was my finding.
You're absolutely right, and you described it correctly. Once we were able to put together this long record, we could look to see whether it matched the solar variations. We could look to see whether it matched El Nino and the Atlantic variations. And we could look at the volcanic emissions. It turns out the volcanoes are all there. They appear rather dramatically in the temperature record, but you can see that they're short pulses. They only last for 2 or 3 years. The overall rise I looked at many things, tried, does it match world population rise? What does it match? And by far the best match was to carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases. I saw that. I was just stunned. It's such a simple demonstration that the temperature rise matches carbon dioxide that it's not obscured behind huge computer programs. It's just a very good match.
Well, Professor, a couple questions. You say you were stunned. You know there are people who are stunned that you were stunned. You know, why didn't you see this before when so many scientists did?
Well, many scientists, I think, were not disturbed by all of the complaints of the skeptics. I think they should have been. When I would talk to such people, I would say, how do you rule out the problem of the poor temperature quality? And the answer I got was, oh, I didn't know about that. So it's odd to me. Many scientists are not expert in this field. They're asked their opinion, and they give their opinion based on trusting the people in the field. For me, I didn't want to base it on trust because it was not clear that these things had been handled right, particularly the station quality.
By station quality, I mean these temperature testing stations, there was criticism that the quality was poor.
It was verified by the U.S. government that many of the stations had uncertainties of 3 to 5 degrees Celsius, which is, 7 to 11 degrees Fahrenheit. With such huge errors, how could they determine changes that were so small? And that was a valid criticism. And most people who said, oh, I believe climate science, had never looked at that, didn't even know about that. I felt the skeptics had more credibility.
Well, you know, you're getting criticism and flack from people who still hold to, skepticism, and they held you up as someone who helped them adhere to that. And what are you hearing from them, and what's your response to that criticism?
Oh, I don't expect anybody to be converted because Rich Mueller says he's changed his mind. What it's going to take is for them to study our scientific papers, and that takes weeks or months. We did enormous work. It was very difficult, very challenging, and I think original, creative, and at the highest standards of science.
But you know, there's been criticism there too, because you said your research had been peer-reviewed, but not all of it has been. It hasn't been published, and you have this, I guess, reputation. People feel that maybe this is a publicity stunt, writing the op-ed before it's been entirely peer-reviewed.
Oh, it has been peer-reviewed.
Well,
let's settle
that for us, because people say a key part hasn't been.
No. They're confused. We've gone through an enormous peer-review process, and they're also confusing journal publication with the peer-review process. My papers over the years, papers for which I've won huge awards, for which I've gotten great recognition, are things that we always distribute to other scientists long before they're published. Every one of the articles online has undergone extensive peer review. It has not yet appeared in a peer-reviewed journal. That's a different criteria.
Right.
And some people get that confused.
That is the debate between published research and research put online. And that is self-described converted skeptic on man-made global warming, Professor Richard Mueller. He's released an op-ed this week with his research, saying he now believes not just in global warming, but in man's role in it. So how is this reverberating? When we come back, what he thinks about the politics of this, if anything, in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back. We're speaking with University of California, Berkeley physics professor Richard Mueller, former skeptic on global warming, who now says in a much talked about op-ed this week in the New York Times, he's a convert. He believes in global warming and that it's man-made. And he came to the conclusion after 3 years of research, funded in part by the Koch Foundation, led by conservative petrochemical company heirs Charles and David Koch, who back conservative Republicans who don't believe in global warming and have long denied that it's caused by humans and greenhouse gases. So, Professor Mueller, let's get to the politics here. Reporter David Horsey in the LA Times, writes, you're not going to convert people. Now, you don't expect to, but he says you're definitely not going to have an impact on the Koch brothers. In his opinion, they're ideological, they're opposed to truth, but also they're too invested in petrochemicals to care. Have you spoken with them, your financial backers, about your conclusions?
I've spoken to the Koch Foundation and the Koch brothers. Let me just mention that depiction in the Los Angeles Times, he has no idea what the Koch brothers think. I don't know where he pulls this out of the air. That's an op-ed that he's writing based on his opinion of guessing as to what they're thinking. He has no idea. That's not good journalism.
Well, you do. You've talked to them. When they first backed you, what was your sense of what they wanted to find? And then tell us, you know, how they responded to your findings.
Well, they were aware of the issues that I had raised, and they liked the idea that I I wanted to address those, that they were valid issues, that we could not accept climate change until those issues were addressed. Subsequent to doing that, they got notification no sooner than anybody else of our results. And my sense is that they are delighted that we have addressed those issues. I think this characterization of the Koch Foundation or of Charles Koch as it's such a simplistic and ridiculous thing. You really shouldn't pass that on.
Well,
it's wrong. Well, it's not based on anybody ever talking to them. It's based on hearsay and what people assume based on what their business
is. It definitely was his opinion. He said he didn't think you were going to have any impact on them. Did you have
I don't know. But I do know that they've been very warm and accepting of our results.
Warm and accepting? What does that mean, accepting? Did they say, and this wasn't the brothers, this was the Institute, presumably a spokesperson or something, that when you spoke to someone
I don't want to give you details of my private conversations
That's fine.
I don't think that's appropriate. If you want to know their opinion, ask them.
Well, and as you said, it's not your goal to convert the Koch brothers or anyone else. But
I don't know that they need conversion. They were properly skeptical. I believe many people should have been skeptical 3 years ago because these questions weren't answered. And the people who weren't skeptical often didn't recognize that there were valid issues that were unanswered.
Given what you found, though, what is your hope? This is important information.
Given what we've found, I think now I feel strongly that global warming is something we need to address and we need to do something about it. I am hoping that the public will recognize this and get behind not showcase things, not things that will not really address the issue but will make us feel better. I mean, I own a Prius and my class applauds me because I own a Prius. That's ridiculous. That doesn't solve the problem. There are worldwide things we have to do to solve this problem, and I hope we will do them.
Well, what do you say to people who say your skepticism in light of the majority of science that accepted global warming, your skepticism delayed doing something about it?
Oh, expecting global warming is not the same thing as science. I mean, there was a good reason to think global warming was human caused because of carbon dioxide increase. The big issues were whether cloud cover feedback was actually preventing it from happening, and therefore taking huge expense, particularly in the poor world, would have been very detrimental. In fact, the global warming so far has been 2/3 of 1 degree Celsius. It's not very much. And I think the idea of acting based on a fear that there was something could be very counterproductive. In fact, I believe that the people who have exaggerated the case, I mean, most of climate change is not global warming. Most of what people are reporting, Hurricane Katrina was not due to global warming.
No, of course not. It was a bad levee.
Of course not. But this is what they're saying. Yeah. And then the public believes when that comes back, when they change their mind, the public has the impression that science is all befuddled.
That's Richard Mueller, professor of physics at the University of California, Berkeley. He wrote an op-ed in the New York Times over the weekend in which he said that he's now not only convinced that global warming is real, but that it is caused by humans and emissions. And by the way, his new book is Energy for Future Presidents, The Science Behind the Headlines. Professor Mueller, if asked by Mitt Romney, for instance, a candidate, presumed GOP candidate, who's criticized because he once said, I believe that climate change is occurring, then later said that he didn't believe in it and didn't believe in the human role in it. What would you advise that president?
I would say that we now have new information that I assume his skepticism came about because he learned of the valid criticism of the prior work that did in fact lead doubt on it. And now that we have addressed that valid criticism, it's important to take the steps that are necessary. Now, the steps that are necessary are not big changes in what the U.S. does, because, in fact, and this is clear even in the U.N. report, that most of the global warming is going to come from the emissions of China, mm-hmm. India, and the developing world. So anything we do to be a leader has to be something that they can then follow, that they can afford to follow.
Well, but Mitt Romney is supported largely by the Koch brothers. Do you see a tension there? They supported you as well. We don't yet know how they've reacted to your new research, but wouldn't that have to follow?
You're now getting into the mind of Mitt Romney. look, I think Romney in the past has been quite reasonable on this issue. He showed skepticism when skepticism was due, as did the Koch brothers. And now I think we have new results. The key thing here is that too many people are pushing for policies that will not work.
But you're
China
saying,
is a poor country, right? And we have to take a leadership that they can afford to follow.
Richard Muller, professor of physics at the University of California. Professor Muller, thanks. What a pleasure to speak with you.
Bye-bye.
And by the way, the Koch Foundation did release a statement about Professor Muller's work after his op-ed. It reads in part, "The Charles Koch Foundation has long supported and will continue to support sound, nonpartisan scientific research." Well, your thoughts on this? Do you welcome the conversion? Do you still don't believe in global warming? Do you resent his conversion? Resent that it came late? Hereandnow.org or on Facebook.com/hereandnowradio. We'd love to hear from you. Back with the latest news. Here and Now.